Is summer special.
Hello and welcome to the first program of While the Cat's Away. Over the next 10 weeks, we're going to be following the adventures of the magician's nephew and the lion, the witch and the wardrobe, unfolding the magical mysteries as we step into the enchanted land of Narnia. You'll also have the chance to enter our competitions. We'll be giving away posters and pencils in our postcard competition, and you'll have the opportunity of winning your own set of the Chronicles of Narnia. More about that later, and don't forget to make sure you have a pencil and paper handy. Also, we'll be sending birthday greetings to members of the Cat's Whiskers Club and telling you how to join the club if you're not already a member. In a moment, we'll be hearing the first part of The Magician's Nephew, which has been adapted especially for radio by Brian Sibley, who has become something of an expert on C.S. Lewis and the Narnia stories.
I think they're very special stories, and I think everybody who reads them realises that there is something about these stories that you just can't forget. Of course, they're great adventures, and they've got marvellous characters in them, but there's something more than that. There's something just underneath the surface that makes you think about these stories, and I think that's part of the appeal of them.
And while Brian's thinking up the questions for the competition, let's take our first steps into the magical world of C.S. Lewis. Here's Maurice Denham with episode one of The Magician's Nephew.
The tales of Narnia, which I'm going to tell you, began long, long ago. When I was a boy, and your great-grandparents were children. Queen Victoria was still on the throne, and there were gas lamps and hand streets of London. When my story begins, I'd just come to London, after having always lived in the country. I didn't like London, or the great big house belonging to my uncle where my mother and I had come to stay. I don't think I'd ever been more miserable in my life as I was on the day when I scrambled up onto the garden wall and, looking into the next door garden, saw a girl staring up at me.
Hello. Hello. What's your name?
Polly Plummer. What's yours?
Diggory. Diggory Kirk.
What a funny name.
It isn't half as funny as Polly Plummer.
Yes, it is.
No, it isn't.
At least I wash my face, which is what you need to do. Especially when you've been
So I've been crying. So would you if you'd been brought to live in a hole like this.
London isn't a hole.
And if your father was away in India. And if your mother was ill. And going to die.
I'm sorry. I didn't know. Do you want to climb down into my garden?
All right. I don't mind. I'm sorry, Polly.
It doesn't matter. Is Mr. Ketterly really mad?
Well, he's either mad or there's some other mystery.
What do you mean?
He's got a study on the top floor, and Aunt Letty says I must never go up there. That sounds pretty fishy, doesn't it?
Yes, I suppose it does.
And another thing, whenever he tries to say anything to me at mealtimes, he never even tries to talk to her. She always shuts him up. Don't worry the boy, Andrew. I'm sure Diggory doesn't want to hear about that. Now, Diggory, wouldn't you like to go out and play in the garden?
What sort of things does he try to say?
I don't know. He never gets far enough. But there's more than that.
What?
Last night, something strange happened.
Go on.
Well, I'd gone to say goodnight to my mother.
I hope you're behaving yourself, Diggory. Only we mustn't annoy Aunt Letty and Uncle Andrew, not when they've been so kind to us.
Yes, Mother.
Oh, Diggory, I'm so sorry about all this. You must be tired of being stuck in London.
That doesn't matter. If only you could get better again.
Oh, I wish I could, darling. I really do.
Oh, come along now, Diggory. Your mother's got to get her rest, and it's past your bedtime, too.
But couldn't I just...
You do want your mother to get better, don't you?
Yes, but...
Well, hurry along then.
It's all right, Diggory. I'll see you in the morning.
Good night.
Good night, dear.
I was on my way to bed, and I was just going past the foot of the attic stairs, when suddenly I heard a terrible scream.
What was it?
I didn't wait long enough to find out.
How exciting. I never knew your house was so interesting.
You may think it's interesting, but you wouldn't like it if you had to sleep there.
Diggory, it's time for lunch. Come in and wash your hands.
I'll have to go. Look, can I see you again?
Come back this afternoon, and I'll show you something special about my house, although it's not as exciting as your Uncle Andrew.
That afternoon, Polly took me up to the top of her house and through a little door into the attic, where she'd made a den. Then I had an idea. If the tunnel went on far enough, we could climb through and perhaps even get in and explore a house further along the row, which had been empty now for ages. Using candles to see by, we set off, carefully counting the numbers of rafters, until I felt sure we were opposite the door into the attic of the empty house.
There's no handle on it.
It wasn't meant to be used from this side. Wait a minute. There's a catch.
Can you do it?
I've nearly got it. There.
Diggory, it's not empty at all. It's full of furniture. I wonder who's living here.
It was shaped, of course, like an attic, but furnished as a sitting room. Every bit of the walls was lined with shelves, and every bit of the shelves was full of books.
It's all right. There's no one here. Let's go in.
But supposing someone comes?
Let's just have a quick look.
So, in we went. A fire was burning in the grate, and in front of the fireplace, with its back towards us, was a large armchair. Between the chair and us, and filling most of the middle of the room, was a big table piled with all sorts of things.
Here's a microscope.
And just look at all these books. What strange writing.
I wonder what all these symbols mean.
And whatever are these?
There was a bright red wooden tray on the table. And on the tray were a number of coloured rings.
They're in pairs. A yellow one and a green one together. Then a space. Then another two. What do you think they're for?
What indeed?
Uncle Andrew!
Well, this is a pleasant surprise, Diggory. There I was, sitting by the fire, never for a moment expecting any company, when, lo and behold, visitors.
I'm sorry, Uncle Andrew. You see, we thought...
Oh, don't worry, my dear boy. I'm delighted to see you. Aren't you going to introduce me to your young companion?
I'm Polly Plummer, and it's nearly my tea time, so I've got to go home.
Well, not just yet. This is too good an opportunity to miss. You see, I'm in the middle of a great experiment. I've tried it on a guinea pig, and it seemed to work. But then a guinea pig can't tell you anything, and you can't explain to it how to come back.
Look here, Uncle Andrew. It really is tea time, and they'll be looking for us in a moment. You must let us out.
Well, if you really must go, I suppose you must.
Thank you, Mr. Kettleby.
But before you go, I must give you a present.
Come on, Polly.
Wouldn't you like one of those rings, Polly, my dear?
Do you mean one of those yellow or green ones? How lovely.
Not a green one. I'm afraid I can't give the green ones away, but I'd be delighted to give you any of the yellow ones.
Polly!
Come and try one on.
That sound, it seems to be getting louder. It's almost as if it were coming from those rings.
Oh, what a strange thing to say, my dear. Now, choose any yellow ring you like.
Polly, don't touch them! She's gone! Where is she?
Congratulate me, my dear boy. My experiment has succeeded.
What have you done to her?
Sent her to... Well, to another place.
What do you mean?
Well, I'll tell you all about it. Now, sit down a moment, my boy. Diggory, have you ever heard of old Mrs. Le Fay?
Wasn't she a great aunt or something?
Not exactly. She was my godmother. That's her picture there, on the wall. What's the matter, boy? Don't you like the look of her?
Wasn't there something wrong about her, Uncle Andrew?
Well, it depends what you mean by wrong. People are so narrow-minded. She she gave me something, Diggory. A little box. And the moment I took it, I could tell by the pricking in my fingers that I held some great secret.
I don't have long to live, Andrew. And as soon as I'm dead, I want you to burn this box unopened and never, ever mention it to another living soul. Do you understand, Andrew? Yeah. Yes, of course you do. And you promise to do as I've asked, don't you?
That promise I did not keep.
Then you should have.
Very true, most right and proper, I'm sure. But, of course, you must understand that rules of that sort, however excellent they may be for little boys, can't possibly be expected to apply to great thinkers. No, Diggory. Men like me, who possess hidden wisdom, are freed from common rules, just as we are cut off from common pleasures. Ours, my boy, is a high and lonely destiny.
So you opened the box?
Oh, not at first. I didn't dare, for I knew it might contain something highly dangerous. The first thing I did was to study the box itself. All I knew at first was that it was very ancient. And then, one day, I discovered the truth. It was Atlantean.
What does that mean?
It means, my dear Diggory, that it came from the lost island of Atlantis.
Look, Uncle Andrew, what about Polly?
Patience, my boy, patience. I haven't finished my story. I spent all my time studying magic until I came to have a fair idea of what might be in the box. Although to do so, I had to get to know some strange people and go through some very unpleasant experiences.
Agradore Eldarath Fidelos, Surmadest et Mendil, Teregamen Videga.
That was what turned my hair grey. But at last I actually knew.
Knew what?
The Atlantean box contained something that had been brought from another world, when our world was only just beginning. I broke the seal and opened the box.
What was inside?
Only dust. Fine, dry dust. Nothing much to look at, not much to show for a lifetime's work, you might say. But when I looked at that dust, I took great care not to touch it, and thought that every grain had once been in another world. I don't mean another planet, for they are part of our world, but a really other world, reached only by magic. Well, I knew that if only there was some way of getting it into the right form, that dust would draw you back to the place it had come from. But my earlier experiments were all failures. I tried them on guinea pigs. Some of them only died. Others burst like little bombs.
What's a cruel thing to do?
Cruel? That's what the creatures were for. But at last I succeeded in making the rings, the yellow rings. But then a new problem arose. I was pretty sure now that a yellow ring would send any creatures that touched it into the other place. But what would be the good of that if I couldn't get them back to tell me what they had found there?
And what about them? A nice mess they'd be in if they couldn't get back.
Your trouble, Diggory, is that you look at everything from the wrong point of view. Can't you understand that the whole thing is a great experiment? The whole point of sending anyone into the other place is that I want to find out what it's like.
Then why didn't you go yourself?
Me? Me? You must be mad. A man at my time of life and in my state of health, to risk the shock and the dangers of being flung into a different universe? I never heard anything so preposterous. Do you realize what you are saying? Think what another world means. You might meet anything. Anything.
So you sent Polly instead? You're nothing but a coward. So, how can we get her back?
I was just going to tell you. I found a way of doing the return journey. The green rings, they draw you back.
But Polly hasn't got a green ring.
No, exactly.
Then she can't get back.
Oh, but she can get back. If someone else will go after her, wearing a yellow ring for himself and taking two green rings, one to bring himself back and one to bring her back.
I suppose you planned the whole without knowing it, and then I'd have to go and bring her back.
But of course.
Very well. What do I have to do?
That's better. First, I put on these gloves. You see, the rings only work if they're actually touching your skin. Wearing gloves, I can pick them up quite safely. See? Now, I take these two green rings and drop them into your right-hand pocket. Now, remember that very carefully. G for green and R for right. G-R, you see? The first two letters of green. One for you and one for the little girl. And now, you pick up a yellow ring for yourself. I should put it on your finger. If I were you, there'd be less chance of dropping it.
Look here, what about Mother? Supposing she asks where I am?
The sooner you go, the sooner you'll be back. Unless, of course, you prefer to go down and have your tea, leave the little girl to be eaten by wild animals, or drowned, or starved in the other world, or be lost there for good. And maybe before tea, you'd like to drop in on Mrs. Plummer and explain why she'll never see her daughter again.
All right, I'm going. But I just wish I was big enough to punch her in the nose.
Uncle Andrew and his study vanished instantly, and then, for a moment, everything became muddled. The next thing I knew, there was a soft green light coming down from above and darkness below. I didn't seem to be standing on anything, or sitting, or lying, and nothing appeared to be touching me.
I think I'm in water, or underwater.
Well, this frightened me for a second, but then suddenly I felt myself rushing upwards, and I found myself scrambling ashore, out onto smooth, grassy ground at the edge of a small pool in a wood.
That's strange. I'm perfectly dry. I'm sure I was underwater, and yet I'm not wet, and I'm not out of breath.
The trees grew so close together and were so leafy that I couldn't see the sky. But there must have been a very strong sun overhead, because the wood was full of
green light, and it's so bright and warm.
It was the quietest wood you could possibly imagine.
There are no birds, no insects, no animals, no wind.
And yet it was very much alive. I could almost feel the trees growing. And then I made another discovery. The pool I'd just got out of was not the only pool.
Dozens of them, everywhere, for as far as I can see.
I could almost feel the trees drinking up the water with their roots. It was then that I noticed the girl, lying at the foot of one of the trees. Her eyes almost shut in sleep, but not quite.
I think I've seen you before.
I think I've seen you too. Have you been here long?
Oh, always. At least, I don't know. A very long time.
So have I.
No, you haven't. I've just seen you come up out of the pool.
I suppose I did. I'd forgotten.
What are they called? A guinea pig. Yes, a guinea pig.
Yes.
That's what it is. And it's got a ribbon tied round it. A ribbon with...
You've got one on your finger. So have I.
What does it mean? I can't remember.
We've got to try. Think. Think.
Mr. Ketterly!
Uncle Andrew!
Of course! It's all come back to me now.
How could we have forgotten?
What should we do now? Take the guinea pig and go home?
Oh, there's no hurry.
Oh, I think there is. This place is too quiet. It's so dreamy. You're almost asleep. If we once give in to it, we shall just lie down and sleep forever and ever.
It's very nice here.
Yes, it is, but we've got to get back. I'll catch the guinea pig. Although, I suppose we might as well leave it here. It's perfectly happy, and your uncle will only do something horrid to it if we take it home.
I bet he would. Look at the way he's treated us. By the way, how do we get home?
Go back into the pool, I expect. Come on.
We went and stood together at the edge, looking down into the smooth water. It was full of the reflection of the green, leafy branches and looked very deep.
I don't like this, Diggory.
It's all right. Take my hand. Now I'll count. One, two, three, and we'll jump. Ready? One, two, three, go!
We haven't gone anywhere. The water's only up to our ankles.
Let's go back to the bank.
What on earth's gone wrong?
I know. Of course it won't work. We're still wearing the yellow rings. They're for the outward journey, you know. The green ones take you home. I'd forgotten all about that. We must change rings. Have you got pockets?
Yes.
Good. Put your yellow ring in your left pocket. I've got two greens. Here's one for you. Now let's try again. One, two... Wait a minute.
What?
I've just had a really wonderful idea. What are all the other pools?
How do you mean?
Well, if we can get back to our world by jumping into this pool, we might get somewhere else by jumping into one of the others. Suppose there's a world at the bottom of every pool.
You mean this wood might be only one of them?
No, I don't believe this wood is a world at all. I think it's a sort of in-between place. This is just a wood between the worlds. I think we can get out of this place and go into jolly well anywhere.
The wood between the worlds. Sounds rather nice.
Come on. Which pool shall we try?
I'm not going to try any new pool, so we've made sure that we can get back by the old one.
And get caught by Uncle Andrew? No, thanks.
Couldn't we just go part of the way down, just to see if it works? Then if it does, we'll change rings and come up again before we reach Mr. Ketterly's study.
But can we go part of the way down?
Well, it took time coming up. I suppose it'll take a little time going back.
All right, but don't blame me if it's the last we see of this place. I'll shout change when we're nearly there.
No, you won't. I will, or we'll not change at all.
Oh, very well. Come on, then. Give me your hand. Now. One, two, three, go!
Everything happened so quickly. At first there were bright lights, stars, planets, moving about in a black sky. And then almost at once there were rows and rows of roofs and chimney pots.
There's St. Paul's Cathedral. It's London.
You can see through the walls of the houses. Look, there's Uncle Andrew in his study, and he's coming closer.
Change!
So we changed rings. And our world faded away again like a dream. And the green light above became stronger and stronger.
There. That's all right. Now for the adventure. Any pool will do. Come on, let's try that one.
Stop!
What's up?
Aren't we going to mark this pool?
Crumbs. I never thought of that. I've got my penknife. Look, I'll cut a strip out of the grass.
Well, I must say, it's a good thing one of us has some sense.
All right, don't keep on about it. There's no mistaking which pool is ours now. Come on, we'll try this pool. Ready?
Ready.
One, two, three, go! Blast! What's gone wrong now? We've got our yellow rings on. Yellow for outward journeys, Uncle Andrew said.
I don't believe he knows anything about it.
I think you're right, Polly. He's never even been here. Let's try the green rings.
Do you think we should?
Well, if it doesn't work, we'll go home again. Agreed?
Agreed.
Green rings on then. Right, here goes again. One, two, three, go!
Thank you.
Oh, I do hope they're not jumping into hot water. Will it take them to a place as nice as the last? Or will they meet up with nasty creatures from another world? I'm afraid we'll have to wait until next week to find out. Time now for our Narnia competition, so I hope you are paying attention to what Polly and Diggory were getting up to. Brian has three questions on this week's Tales of Narnia, so listen carefully and write the answers down.
What colour were the rings that carried Diggory and Polly to another land? What did Uncle Andrew find when he opened the box? And what little creature did the children find in the wood between the worlds?
OK, if you know the answers, then pop them onto a postcard. Any card will do. You can make it a picture postcard of your holiday, if you like, or maybe a picture of your hometown so that I can see where you come from. I'll leave that totally up to you, but it must be a postcard. Don't forget to put your name and address clearly along with your answers, and the first three correct answers will win a set of The Chronicles of Narnia. They're wonderful prizes, so get your postcards in the post as soon as possible, and we'll give the address later in the programme. And it's also on page 74 of this week's edition of the Radio Times.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday.
There's another competition coming up shortly, but first, 14-year-old Rowena Snaith, who plays Polly in the serial, is here to help read out this week's birthday greetings.
Happy birthday to Christopher Taylor, Otis Reddick, Samuel Marshall and Alexander Fothergill.
And best wishes to Kate Skinner, Ashley Fairbrother, Helen Warwick and Ruth Hampton.
Jessica Ramage, Madeline Baxter, Roy Darning and Gregory Shepherd.
And to Angara Jones, Christopher Grant, Matthew Butler and Nicola Lanaway.
Amy Chandler, Rebecca Patterson, Charlie Perfect and Jonathan Higgs.
And to Karina Goad, Rachel Harry, Rebecca Jones and Alexandra Stephen.
Jamie Nelson, Carolyn Davies, Catherine Tuft and Stuart Linfield.
And many happy returns to Stephen Porter, Leah Zami, Alan Giddings and Laura D. Smith.
And finally to Lucinda Perryman, Jenny Harrington, Rachel Codling and Fiona Johnson.
Remember, if you'd like to become a member of the Cat's Whiskers Club and have your birthday read out, then write to us at the Cat's Whiskers address, which I'll give you in a moment. Now, I hope you were concentrating earlier on this week's episode of The Tales of Narnia, because you'll need to remember what happened to Polly and Diggory for our second competition. You'll need your pencils and crayons for this one. OK, now what I want you to do is draw a scene from this week's episode. It can be in Polly's garden, Mr. Ketterly's attic, or maybe the first encounter with the other world. I want you to make it as colourful as you like, but it must be on the back of a postcard, with your name and address clearly written as well. The best 10 pictures will win posters of the Map of Narnia and special Narnia pencils. The address for our competitions, and also for information about joining the Cat's Whiskers Club, is Cat's Whiskers Summer Special, BBC, PO Box 40, Manchester, M601FR. That's Cat's Whiskers Summer Special, BBC, PO Box 40, Manchester, M601FR. That's about all we have time for. Next week, while the cat's away, we'll be joining Polly and Diggory on another exciting adventure, when we'll be finding out where the magic rings have taken them to. And don't forget, I'd like to know what you think of the serial, so write to me with your comments, and I'll read out your points of view next week. Bye-bye.
While the cat's away, the producer of the Cat's Whiskers Summer Special is Julia Brooke. Those taking part in episode one of The Tales of Narnia were Maurice Denham as the Professor, Robert Edison as Uncle Andrew, with other parts played by Simeon Pearl, Rowena Smith, Joan Matheson and Catherine Parr. The music for the serial was composed by Elizabeth Parker. Tales of Narnia has been dramatised in 10 parts by Brian Sibley and was produced by Jeff Marshall Taylor for BBC School Radio. Next week at the same time, the Cat's Whiskers Summer Special continues with part two of The Tales of Narnia. Now the news, followed by Open Mind.